It's the Wine Sleuth, and today I'm here at 2850 Fetcher Lane with Louisa Rose, who is the chief winemaker of Yulumba. Yulumba is one of the finest Australian wineries around. And so today I was here to have a Viognier tasting with Louisa. And so, Louisa, can you just tell me a little bit about the history of Viognier in Australia?
Yes, hi. Thanks for coming along today. Viognier was first planted in Australia in 1980. We were the first winery to plant a commercial vineyard of Viognier. It was almost extinct in the world. You know, through the 70s and 80s, there was only about 11 hectares of Viognier anywhere in the world. And, of course, that was in Condrieu, which is its home in the Rhone. And so we found it and we planted it in 1980, and when we've been making wines ever since.
And so what inspired you to find Viognier and to replant it in Australia, to transplant it?
Well, we've always been very curious about new varieties, and we work with a lot of varieties. Many varieties we work with and we grow and we make wine and we decide they're not for us, or they don't work in our terroir. But Viognier was one that fitted well. There was a suspicion that it might, because the Barossa, of course, has had a Shiraz, which is known as Syrah in Europe, growing for 170 years. And so we knew we were very suited to growing Shiraz, and Viognier coming from, you know, near Hermitage and those areas, we had a suspicion that it might do well, and that has been founded. So we gave it a go, even though we really didn't know much about it, as, you know, as the world didn't know much about it. But with a bit of trial and error over the years, we've developed styles we're really proud of.
All right. And so what would you say the difference between, say, Condrieu Viognier and Yulumba? Or you said it's from the Barossa Valley. Is that where you grow most of your Viognier?
Yeah, we grow it in the actually in the Eden Valley, which is part of the Barossa. So it's the higher the country to of the Barossa. A little bit cooler at night, and a little bit more mineral, sort of bony, gravelly soils. The real difference is that we're in Australia in the Eden Valley, and Condrieu is Condrieu. The climate's a little bit different, although quite similar. But ultimately, it comes down to the soils and that whole that beautiful word of terroir, which we really don't know what it means, but it encompasses what makes a particular site give particular flavours. A lot of people will taste our Virgilius, which is our flagship white wine, our flagship Viognier, and say it looks like, you know, it's similar to some of the Condrieus, but really, I think it looks like the Virgilius, and the Condrieus look like Condrieu.
All right, okay. And we just finished a tasting, and you did mention that all of your Viogniers are under screw cap, and you don't like to use wine. All of your Viogniers are under screw cap, and you don't like to use cork. And so why did you take that particular decision?
Well, the problem that we found with cork and Viognier is that the cork, even a good cork, still has a little bit of flavour. I mean, it is a piece of wood, after all, or a piece of bark. And we found that the Viogniers are such finely balanced wines that putting a cork in them, in many cases, would actually make them look a bit sort of woody and a bit flat. And you'd lose some of those really lovely aromas, which are so important for us with Viognier. And we spent so much time getting it right and putting it in the bottle, but we didn't just want that cork sort of, you know, making the wines look flat. So we, in 2003, we started using screw caps, and the wines are, you know, much more pristine and much better held together now that they are in a screw cap.
So what is it, or how do you differentiate your Viognier? What sort of winemaking techniques do you use to get those sort of pristine qualities?
One of the most important things in the making of Viognier for us is the fact that the sugar is fermented into alcohol with the indigenous yeast that are present in the vineyard. And it's a population of very different yeast, many, many different types of species. And together they do the fermentation, but they're all providing a slightly different character and texture to the wine. And you end up with a wine that is very layered, very complex, but at the same time quite restrained and tight. And we've found over many years that that's the best way to make the styles that we want to, as well as perhaps the most, you know, with the least intervention.
All right, so you're all about non-intervention, sustainability, things like that.
Yeah, that's very important for us. And non-interventionist winemaking doesn't mean you just do it, you know, you let it go and don't do anything. We spend an incredible amount of time watching it and making sure we're happy with the direction that the wine's going. But when you have very healthy vineyards, which we pride ourselves in with a lot of biodiversity, the fruit is very healthy, the natural yeast are very healthy and very biodiverse, and it really, that beautiful balance really does just help those wines almost make themselves.
All right, so it's a combination of hard work and maybe a little bit of luck.
There's always a little bit of luck.
All right. And you also mentioned, well, because Viognier comes from France, and obviously in the Rhone they do the Shiraz Viognier blends, Syrah Viognier blends, and you guys do the same as well.
We do. Australians are notorious for copying things from around the world, and we couldn't help ourselves. Once we had established Viognier and we were really pleased with the white wines, we did think that, and we've always loved drinking the wines of Côte Rôtie, so we thought we would start working with that. And we have for a number of years now fermented some Viognier, so it's actually fermenting the Viognier grapes, which are white, with the red Shiraz grapes.
So you are actually fermenting them together as opposed to separately?
That's right, and that's actually what makes them very special for us. It's about what happens and the reactions that happen between the white grapes and the red grapes during that fermentation process. So it's not just about putting a splash of apricot flavour into Shiraz. It's about really the Viognier getting right into the Shiraz and helping lift up the aromas and the perfume and just that lovely sort of suppleness on the palate that you get.
All right, okay, and so you said you started in 2003, and how are you finding the ageability of the wine?
Yeah, so 2003 was the first time we put screw cap on our Viognier wines, on our white wines, and we are finding now that particularly the higher end, the Virgilius and the Eden Valley wines are aging absolutely beautifully. They're keeping their finesse and they're not getting broad and oily, but they're increasing in intensity and developing some really beautiful perfumes that we'd never seen in the younger wines before.
Right, and for your Shiraz Viognier, are they under screw cap or are they under cork?
Our Y series and our Eden Valley Shiraz Viognier are under screw cap. Our hand-picked Shiraz Viognier, which is the smallest quantity we make, is still under cork. And it's not that we couldn't put the screw cap on from a quality point of view, but we understand that a lot of customers, when they pay a lot of money for a wine, particularly a red wine, they want a cork, they want the romance, they want that process. So we still seal those wines under cork.
Great. Okay, well, I just went through and tasted all of them, and they are tasting wonderfully fantastic. So thank you very much for sharing your wines with us, and thank you for taking the time to have a chat.
It's a pleasure. And now the most important thing is you get to try some Viognier with food, which is absolutely what we make these wines for.
Great. Looking forward to it.